yards.
Welcome to the show, Endpoint Sight, Jeremy in Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage. Your check and money order can be mailed out to RBN. Mail that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is your Wednesday night broadcast, spiritual health and wellness. We're going to do a sermon clip about 14 minutes long, and then I'm going to get into a study of Revelation 3, addressed to the seven churches. This is a sermon clip from Pastor K, one of our great young upcoming pastors, on the vitality of the Word of God. If you would, Mike, roll that sermon clip, and we'll analyze on the other side.
Well, I invite you this morning to take your copies of God's Word. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. It occurred to me that thus far in 2024, I have not preached on the Lord's Day from any text but 1 Corinthians 15. As we've been working our way through that chapter, and of course I haven't preached every Lord's Day morning of the year here. By God's grace, He's blessed us with able men that have visited and preached for us a time or two. But it has been a long haul through 1 Corinthians 15. And so what I wanted to do this morning in light of Luke being here last Sunday and in light of the conference next Sunday, rather than try to jump back into 1 Corinthians 15, I wanted to instead preach a sermon to you this morning concerning a very familiar subject. This is a familiar text and a familiar subject. You've heard this psalm before, no doubt. We've considered it before, I think, even on Wednesdays. But I wanted to redirect our attention. I thought that this would be a helpful reminder to us. And let me just say, as I've said before, you know, good preaching is not finding some new way to say some new thing. Good preaching oftentimes is reminding God's people of those precious truths that are so easily forgotten and overlooked. And so with that, I want to preach a message to you this morning on the vitality of the Word of God. Amen. The vitality of the Word of God. The Word of God is that which gives us life. It is that which God has given that we might grow and be strengthened and be established in the faith. And this certainly is one of those landmark texts for that great and glorious truth. So let me begin by reading our text this morning, and we'll be looking at the second half of this psalm, beginning in verse 7. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7. These are the words of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. In 1519, God saved a man by the name of William Tyndale. William Tyndale was trained at Cambridge and Oxford, and he was a very highly educated man. Yet it was not until 1519 that William Tyndale, by sovereign grace, savingly believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately after his conversion, Tyndale was struck with the belief and conviction that all of England sat under spiritual darkness because the gospel could never flourish until the people had access to the Word of God in their own language. You know that during those times in the early 1500s, Roman Catholicism had a stronghold on much of Europe, and the fires of the Reformation were beginning to burn in Germany and then in France, but it had not yet reached England. And in 1519, not only did the common layman not have access to the scriptures, it was illegal to own or to produce a Bible in the vulgar tongue, in the common language of the people. And Tyndale, looking at the state of the world in which he lived, he said, "We will never experience the blessings of God until we get the Word of God in our hands." And so by 1522, Tyndale had made it his life's mission to produce a translation of the Bible in English. You may know the famous quote. Tyndale said, "If God spares my life, I will cause the plowboy in the field to know more of the scriptures than the Pope of Rome." So Tyndale, he leaves England and he goes into hiding for the next 12 years. And where does he go? Well, he goes, of course, to Germany. And he thinks, if there is any man alive today that could help me in translating the scriptures into my language and in leading a reformation in my country, it's got to be that wild bull, Martin Luther. And so Tyndale goes to Wittenberg. This is just a phenomenal story. Tyndale goes to Wittenberg and he finds Luther and he talks to Luther about how to go about translating the scriptures and how to go about sparking reformation in England. And then from Wittenberg, he goes down to Worms, the place where Luther famously said, "Here I stand, my conscience is bound to the word of God, I can do no other." And he, in 1524, he completes the first edition of his English Bible. And listen to this providential story. From Germany, Tyndale has his Bible printed on the Gutenberg press, and he ships it back to England. And his Bible begins, like smuggling contraband, it begins to disseminate throughout England. And it doesn't take long for the religious authorities to become aware of what's happening. Now, Tyndale's first edition was not a complete edition. It needed a lot of revision, and it needed some work to be done to it. But Tyndale did not have the funds to reprint a second edition. But what happens is, his Bible goes back to England, and do you know who the largest purchaser of his Bible was? Well, it was the Bishop of London. The Bishop of London was buying up every copy of Tyndale's first edition that he could find in order to burn it, to keep the common person from getting it. And those funds then went back to Tyndale. And in the year 1534, he was able to produce his complete second edition. And this made him, of course, public enemy number one. By 1535, a large manhunt was underway to capture William Tyndale for committing the great crime of putting a Bible into the hands of the common person. He was captured on October 6th, 1536. Like our Lord, he first had a religious trial, then he had a civil trial. He was condemned as a heretic, not only for producing a Bible, but also because he believed in justification by faith without the works of the law, which made him a heretic in the eyes of the Roman Catholic Church. And so he was sentenced to death. He was tied to the stake. He was set on fire, which was ineffective. So then they strangled him with a chain. And then they surrounded the dead body of William Tyndale with gunpowder and they blew him to pieces. That was the hatred that the Roman Catholic Church had and still has for the Word of God and the truths that it teaches. But just before Tyndale died, as his breath was being strangled out of his body at the stake, he uttered this famous prayer. And he said, "Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. And less than 100 years later, God would answer that prayer, and he would put an English Bible into the hands of the English people that had the King's name on it. And so whatever translation you have, if you have an English Bible in your lap this morning, you owe a debt of gratitude to William Tyndale. William Tyndale was a man who understood the vitality of the Word of God. William Tyndale was a man who had a passion for the testimony of God in Scripture. And this is a passion that is also proclaimed for us today by the psalmist David. In Psalm 19, David begins in verse 7 to bare his heart and to proclaim his love for the Word of God. And he begins to go through and tell us just why that Word is so wonderful. So I want us now to look here at Psalm 19 and to look really at two things as they pop out to us in this text. But I first must begin. I know I've talked about the theology of the means of grace many times. I don't want to belabor that point, but you won't understand Psalm 19 if you don't understand that the Word of God is a means of grace to the people of God. The Word of God is a means of God's grace whereby He blesses us and whereby He grows us and whereby He gives us that which we need to worship and serve Him. A consistent, systematic, perseverant intake of the Word of God through Bible reading and attendance to preaching is built into God's way of saving you and keeping you saved. What does Peter tell us about the Word? He says that we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. James tells us very bluntly in his first epistle in James chapter 1 and in verse 21, he says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." You say, well, how does the Word of God save me? Well, it's true that there is no power alone in this book. But this book is an instrument. This book is a tool. And it's a tool that is used by the hand of God and by the Spirit of God. And it is the means through which God gets us the message upon which we believe unto the salvation of our souls. Ordinarily, there is no salvation apart from the Word of God.
Amen.
I say ordinarily because, yes, it's true that God is not in a box, God is not bound, but ordinarily, the Bible, the reading of it, and the preaching of it, and the hearing of it, is the tool that God has used to save His people. I can't explain it any better than this, so I'm just going to read it to you. But in our very own Baptist Catechism, in question 94 of our Baptist Catechism, the question is, how is the Word made effectual to salvation? How does the Word accomplish the work of salvation? And the answer is, the Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. You know, the word salvation or the idea of being saved has been so limited in our modern context. Most of the time when we hear salvation or being saved, we think of the moment of initial conversion. But I want you to understand that the Bible and our Puritan and particular Baptist forefathers, they had a much broader view of salvation than that. When they spoke of salvation, they spoke of all the components, all of redemption applied, all of the ordo salutis. So that includes, yes, your conversion, but it also includes your sanctification. And it also includes your glorification and everything in the middle. And so how does God first birth you into His kingdom? Through the Word. How does He grow you and sanctify you throughout your Christian life? Through the Word. And when you are on your deathbed, moments before meeting the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, it will be the Word of God that will give you strength even in that time. How precious, how important is it for us to have the Word of God firmly cemented in our minds and upon our hearts?
Okay, that's the sermon clip for tonight. And the emphasis is the importance of the Word of God, and that the Word of God was translated into languages that the common man can read. And as the speaker so very eloquently laid out, you know, Tyndale was one of the key persons who was able to get this translation of the Word of God from Latin into English. More than 100 years before him, you had Wycliffe, you know, John Wycliffe, from in the late 1300s, also began this quest to translate the Word of God into English, and that spurred the Reformation, right? The Reformation from the Roman Catholic Church, to get the Word of God into the hands of the common man. We're up on the break, so we'll be back on the other side with more on the sermon clip and a study into Revelation 3.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit, Fact Bit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Raja Yana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
This is Spiritual Health and Wellness on your Wednesday night broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network. Jeremy in Kentucky here. So the speaker mentioned the Ordo Salutis. Now, this is a Latin phrase because these reformers like to use Latin, and it's pretty cool. But it simply means the order of salvation. The order of salvation, now, what is that? Scripturally defined, it is the order in which you were justified and then sanctified and glorified as believers in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So there's different stages here. The called according to his purpose, these are the elect, whom God elected from the foundation of the earth. You can find this in Ephesians chapter 1. If you read that chapter in its entirety, the elect from before the foundation of the earth. All right. He called them according to his purpose, and he foreknew them. So in other words, God foreknew who would be saved. But God's foreknowledge and his the way that he interacts with human history, God cannot look into the future and learn something. Okay? God is God. He cannot learn. So he actively participates in the future. In other words, he called you. He didn't look into the future and see who would be called, but he chose those that would be who are called the elect. And that's what Romans 8 is talking about here. He predestined them to good works, to be the firstborn among many brethren. In verse 30, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. So justification is what happens when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's when you're born again, when you exercise faith in the message of the gospel, and you understand that you're a sinner, and that there's nothing that you can do. There's no works that you can do to justify yourself. You rely fully on the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again. So at that point, you're justified when you exercise faith. And so God has predestined you, the believer, to good works. He knew you before time. But from your point of view, understand this, from your point of view, there was a point in time where you were in sin and you were convicted by that sin by the Holy Spirit, and you responded in faith. And you understood that outside of anything that you could do, there's nothing you could do that could please God, because we're all sinners saved by grace. So God predestined you to good works if you're a believer, right? And so that's the order of salvation, or the Ordo Salutis, that the speaker was talking about. Just breaking that down, it's the order in which you were saved. You were justified by faith, by grace through faith, and then you begin to walk in the good works that God predestined you to walk into from before the foundation of the earth. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that glorious? That the Lord God knew you before the earth was ever created, and he chose you, and he predestined you to do good works. That's the order of salvation, or the Latin phrase, ordo salutis. So all of this in conjunction with the Word of God, the Word of God was suppressed by the Roman Catholic Church, and great men like Wycliffe and then later William Tyndale got the Word of God translated into English. You had the first word press invented in Germany, and the first Bible, the first work ever produced was the Holy Bible. And that got the Bible into the hands of the common man, into his own language. And so that's sort of what the sermon clip was about. And then we'll get into a discussion and a study of the book of Revelation, as we've done for the last 2 weeks. We're up on Revelation 3. So just to bring you up to speed, John the Apostle was... all right, we're up on the break. We're up on the first break. So let me get back to this on the other side, and we'll take your calls on the other side if you want to weigh in on Implant Thought, spiritual health and wellness.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-and lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-and lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
We're back to spiritual health and wellness on In Plain Sight after the bottom of the hour break. And we just analyzed the sermon clip, and then we want to get into a study of Revelation chapter 3. We covered chapters 1 and 2 in the last 2 weeks. This is an address to the church from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared in his glorified form to John the Apostle. Also, John was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, also known as the disciple that Jesus loved. So there was a particular association between the Lord and John the Apostle. John would have been a teenager when the Lord Jesus Christ walked the earth, and they had a special friendship. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ entrusted to John the Apostle to care for Jesus' mother, Mary. While hanging on the cross, he told John, "Behold, this woman," speaking of the mother Mary, "behold thy mother." And to John, he said, "Behold thy mother." And to Mary, he said, "Behold thy son." So the Lord Jesus Christ entrusted the care of his mother in her elder years to the Apostle John. So John is a very important person here. And the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the Apocalypse in the Greek, the revealing of the Lord Jesus to the world, was entrusted to John the Apostle. And that's where we're at. And Jesus Christ appeared to John the Apostle in his glorified form and gave to John letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, or Turkey. And in these letters, he gave them reprimand and praise. Reprimand and praise. He told them what they were doing right and what they were doing wrong. And there was reward and punishment in this earthly address. Now, understand that those that are born again, those of us who are born again in Christ, our sins are all forgiven, and we're going to heaven apart from our works. But while we're on this earth and a part of the church, we're responsible for the way that we live our lives. And this is going to be judged in 2 Corinthians 5, at the judgment seat of Christ, where he judges the church, he judges believers, based on the opportunities that they were given in this life. Okay. So understand that from the point of God the Father, the sins of believers are forgiven. But Jesus Christ, whom all judgment is, in his hands is appointed, he addresses these churches and he is judging them, based on how they're operating their church. So that's the context of Revelation chapters 1 through 3. Is Christ addressing the churches through the Apostle John based on how they're doing? And we covered the first set of churches in Revelations 1 through 3. And now in chapter 3, we're going to focus on the church of Philadelphia in contrast to the church of Laodicea. In Philadelphia, they're getting it right, and in Laodicea, they're getting it wrong. So some things to note in this address is that throughout the church age, in other words, since the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected and rose again and ascended to heaven, you have the church age. And during the church age, which is where we're in now, you can find characteristics of all these seven churches in churches that you can observe in the current time. Again, you can find characteristics of the seven churches existing in churches today. And you can also find characteristics of the church in its entirety. In other words, so what I'm saying is that churches in the modern age, these evangelical pro-Zionist churches, they fall into the category of the Laodicean church for the most part. You know, and that's what we're going to find in our study. But there are also individual churches in this current age that can be characterized by addresses to the different seven churches that, you know, the Lord gave to John, right? So you can visit different churches. You can find, well, whether you can use the word of God to determine whether they're a Laodicean church or whether they're adhering to the principles of the other churches that the Lord addressed. So in this chapter 3 of Revelation, we're going to focus on Philadelphia and Laodicea. So in verse 7 of Revelation 3, we're going to address the church of Philadelphia. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Look what he says to Laodicea, or I'm sorry, to Philadelphia. He's addressing Philadelphia here in verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee a door, an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hath kept my first word and hath not denied my name. So the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledges the works of these churches. Because remember that in the eyes of God the Father, your sins are forgiven. But since all judgment is committed to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ judges your works as a believer in Christ, and whether you know, and he holds you to the standard of the Word of God. That's why it's important for us to have the Word of God in our language and be able to understand what the Lord commands us in our daily walk as believers. Okay, that's where we're at. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Okay, so this is a reference to the great tribulation. The great tribulation spoken of Daniel the prophet, and also spoken of in the New Testament of Paul the apostle, in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the hour when the man of sin will be revealed and will he will deceive the earth, right? There's going to come a great deception upon the earth. And what Jesus is saying here to Philadelphia is because they have walked in his statutes, they will be kept from this hour. In other words, true believers will understand what's going on, they will see the deception, and they will not participate in it. Again, they will see the deception, not participate in it. In verse 11, the word of God says, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So believers in Christ will be given crowns of righteousness. And this is to be done at the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5. Believers will be judged based on how they live their life. And the result of that judgment will be their position in the kingdom of God on this earth. It is not a judgment to determine whether or not they're born again. These are born again believers, part of the church, in 2 Corinthians 5, in the judgment seat of Christ, and they will be judged based on how they live their life. So you, as a born again believer, you're responsible for how you have lived your life and how you walk in the statutes of the Word of God. And that's going to determine your position in the coming kingdom on this earth, which is also known as the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. All right. Verse 12 in Revelation 3, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the church, what the Spirit saith to the churches. So this is a future reference to the New Jerusalem, which the Lord Jesus Christ is building, which will come down upon the earth. And you'll see this in the latter chapters of Revelation, and we'll get to that. But now we're going to do a contrast, okay? We're going to contrast the Church of Philadelphia, which is a church that has gotten it right. We're going to contrast that with the Church of Laodicea, which is getting everything wrong. And you can see this in present day. The majority, I would argue, the majority of the churches in this age are getting it wrong. Since the sexual revolution of the 1960s, where the culture has influenced the church, you see the church overall, the evangelical movement, the churches of God, giving into the culture. They're ordaining homosexuals and pedophiles and transvestites. They're abdicating this activity. And there's very, very few churches that are standing against it. So when we get to the Church of Laodicea, you can very well see where the majority of churches fall into this category of the Laodiceans. Right? They think that they're wealthy. They think that they're rich. They think they're doing the right thing. But indeed, according to the Word of God, they're wretched and poor and blind. All right? So let's read this. Starting in verse 14 of Revelation 3, unto the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is vomiting. The Lord Jesus is saying, because you're not one side or the other, you're not cold nor you're hot, you're somewhere in the middle. Because of this, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's what he's saying. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and am increased with goods and have need of nothing. Knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Wow, this is an awesome critique that the Lord Jesus has of Laodicea. And I would argue that this is the critique that the Lord Jesus has of the modern church. They think they're rich. They think they're doing so good with their televangelists, with their Christian Zionism. But yet they are lukewarm. And the Lord Jesus warns them, if you stay in this category, I will vomit you. I will spew you out of my mouth. What a harsh critique. What an apt critique of the modern church age. Verse 18 of Revelation 3. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The Lord Jesus is saying, look, you think you're all of these great things, but you're naked and you're blind, and your works are horrible. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying to this church of Laodicea. And I would argue that the majority of the churches of this current age fall in this category of the Laodicean church. Think about the televangelists, okay? Think about Hagee and all the ones in the past that come on the television. They have, you know, $5,000-$10,000 suits. They have jet airplanes. They have expensive mansions, because they've beguiled the peoples into giving them money, and they promote a false gospel. They do this Israel worship nonsense, and they think that they're doing the works of God. But Jesus is telling you, you're blind, you're naked, and your works are crap. That's what he's telling them. And if you don't repent, I will spew you out of my mouth. I will vomit you. What a horrible judgment to give to those who think that they're a part of the Church of Christ, part of the redeemed church. And some of them may very well be born again, but they've been beguiled into this modern mindset that the church can just accept whoever and whatever, and that the secular state of Israel is God's chosen people. These are who the Lord Jesus Christ is addressing there. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus is addressing the true believers that are caught up in this false church of Laodicea. And he's saying, you're my children, right? You rebuke your children. When your child does something wrong, you rebuke them. You chasten them. You discipline them. And that's what he's trying to do to this church. All right, we're up on the next break, the conclusion of In Plain Sight, Spiritual Health and Wellness on the other side.
The wind blows hard against this mountainside, across the sea into my soul. It reaches into where I cannot hide.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
My heart is old, it holds my memories. My body burns a gem-like flame. Somewhere between the soul and soft machine.
Back to the conclusion of Spiritual Health and Wellness on your Wednesday night broadcast on Endpoint Site. Jeremy here. And we're just concluding in the Lord's address to the churches, specifically Laodicea. This is a church that has gotten it all wrong. Okay. This church of Laodicea is characteristic of the modern church era, at least since the sexual revolution of the 1960s and even before that. And so what does the Lord address to them? He tells them that they're blind. They don't have riches. And if they don't repent, he will spew them out of his mouth. He will vomit them out of his mouth. So let's see what the Lord recommends to this church. So in verse 19, he says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Repent. Turn away from. Turn away from what you're doing is the address to the Laodicean church. Verse 20 of Revelation 3, "Behold," this is Jesus talking, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." This Laodicean church, which I would argue characterizes most of the modern churches of this age since the sexual revolution, the Lord Jesus is on the outside of the church. He's knocking at the door. This is not an offer of salvation. These are people who are already justified before God, who have been justified apart from their works. And Jesus is wanting fellowship with them again. So what's happening here is this church of Laodicea, they're born again believers, but they're doing everything wrong. And the Lord Jesus is on the outside of the church. He's knocking at the door. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Sup means supper or eat in fellowship. In the age in which this Bible was written, supper or sitting down and eating with someone means that you identify with them, that you have an intimate relationship with the person that you're eating with. And the Lord Jesus is standing outside of the door of this church wanting fellowship again. He's calling for the modern church to repent, to go away from the acts that they're doing and to bring him back into fellowship. Okay? Verse 21, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Believers in Christ, if you have an ear to hear, go to the Word of God. The Word of God is your standard. If you're in a church that is going against the Word of God, get out of it. This is Spiritual Health Alone. It's you guys. Stay classy. I love you all. We'll be back tomorrow night with William.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.